Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I am your host, Doug Wortham, and today we're going to speak with a couple Airmen of the Year candidates from the 133rd Airlift Wing and hear from a member of the Army National Guard who recently graduated from the University of Minnesota and the ROTC program. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Each January, we celebrate the life of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Dr. King's courage and determination to peacefully fight racism, oppression, and violence changed the course of history during the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s. Like any other great leader, Dr. King knew the importance of unifying people to accomplish one common goal. The collective progress made during the civil rights movement positively influenced the policies and behaviors of our nation over the decades that followed. The Minnesota National Guard strives to uphold Dr. King's legacy by ensuring soldiers and airmen from all walks of life enjoy the benefits of equality and diversity. By doing this, we honor a life dedicated to making our nation a better place.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Master Sergeant Jesse Maleski and Master Sergeant Nicole Hetland are both members of the Minnesota Air National Guard, and they're assigned to the 133rd Airlift Wing. They join us today to talk about their service and their journey through the 133rd Airlift Wing Airman of the Year competition. Master Sergeant Maleski and Master Sergeant Hetland, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Well, it's good to have you in, and so that we don't cause a ton of confusion and I don't have to keep saying Master Sergeant this and Master Sergeant this or that, can I just say Jesse and Nicole? Is that all right?
Absolutely.
All yes, right, sir. Good. So, Nicole, I want to start with you. And, you know, let's hear a little bit about, you know, you're a member of the Air National Guard, but why did you join the Minnesota Air National Guard?
Well, I wasn't your traditional enlistment, starting out at 17 or 18 years old. I joined 4 days before my 35th birthday. So when I joined, I was kind of looking into it, and I worked with a flight nurse in the hospital in the intensive care unit who recruited me. I was pursuing my degree for nursing at that time, and she said, hey, you know, since, you know, you're going for nursing, why don't you come be a flight medic? So that's where I started my career, is in the AeroVac squadron for the 109th. And then I served there about 7 years before I transferred into the training program. I was traditional there at that time and changed my careers, actually, into social work and pursued my degree in a bachelor's of social work. And then right after that, I worked part-time for the county briefly, and then the position opened where I'm at now, and I currently work in the 4th Support Squadron in the Education and Training Office.
So you have a traditional Air National Guard responsibility, but then also a responsibility as a full-time member of the force out there at the 133rd Airlift Wing.
Yes, I worked both.
All right, perfect. And Jesse, what about you? What led you to join the Air National Guard and to get you to where you are now?
Sure. So my story starts in high school when I was touring St. Cloud State University. I was visiting that college because I was planning to attend, and I saw a recruiting booth there for the Minnesota Army National Guard. And, you know, seeing that and also wondering how I was going to pay for college, I kind of put those two things together. And soon enough, I joined the Army National Guard as a 88 Mike or a motor transport operator. And so I served 6 years in that enlistment and finished up school. And by the time I was wrapping that up, I thought, you know, maybe I'll get out and pursue something on the civilian side. But, you know, as the time came, I realized those the camaraderie was something I wasn't ready to let go of yet. And I also wanted to explore just new experience. So I did some looking online and I found the Minnesota Air National Guard, and I saw this picture of these security forces members coming out of the woods, and there was red smoke and everything. And I thought, hey, that looks cool. Let me give it a shot. And that was about 6 or 7 years ago now. So I've been a security forces member in the Air National Guard ever since my second enlistment. And that brings it up to speed. And I'm actually working out on the base full time as well as a security forces element leader in a contingency response unit.
So I have to ask, having experienced the Army National Guard and, of course, now the Air National Guard, that decision to transfer components, how's that gone for you?
It's been really good. I'm really happy for the time that I had in the Army, both the Army and the Air. I really like where I am, but I wouldn't change it if I could go back. I think the experience in the joint environment is really beneficial.
Because that was the next thing I was going to ask you. If you knew then what you know now, mm-hmm. would you have said, I think I'll go right to the Air Force and start that career?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Now, how many times did you have to sleep out in the woods under a tent or under the stars in the Army versus in the Air?
In the Army, it was a lot. In the Air, it's not sure. I could certainly count on one hand, but I might not even need the full hand for that.
Yeah, probably not. Well, thanks again to both of you for coming in and spending time with us here in the studio and just talking a little bit about your service, right? And I think it's important, as we are with Minnesota Military Radio, to get to know some of those that are here in our community serving. And, you know, with you having that opportunity to not only serve in a traditional role, but also to be a critical support member out at the wing to help things operate and roll, it's great to have your perspective come in. So I want to come back to you, Nicole, because before we started with the show today, you were talking a little bit about kind of the ins and outs of what you do out at the wing, and you talked about the training capacity, and you recently came back from a deployment, and you were saying that your eyes were really opened to the services that you can provide and help young airmen as they are trying to understand their educational benefits. So tell us a little bit about what you do and how you support the airmen in the Minnesota Air National Guard.
All right. One of my main roles right now is I help members get off to basic training. So it's the formal school program. So I'm fortunate I get to see the airmen when they first come in. You know, we get them ready for training. You know, we help them get their flights. We help them get paid. We send them away to basic, and they come home from tech school, and I get to see that transformation from, you know, from when they get here to when they actually are in uniform. And it's really neat to see that custom and courtesy change. And a part of that is the education part, education and training. For the Air Force, we are the only branch of service that has a community college of the Air Force and an associate's degree that is tied to their technical training. So I also get to brief that to them when they come back and talk about how, you know, now that you're enrolled into the associate's program, it will take them a couple of years to get it and explain to them the full process of how to get all those credits before we get them graduated.
And so a person listening right now, if they were to come into the Air National Guard and they start with basic training like all the forces, military branches do, then they go on to this technical training. They start earning credits right then for an associate's degree. And so you're saying that within about 2 years, they actually would have an associate's degree and they didn't have to pay for it.
That is correct.
Wow.
It's some of it. It really depends, right? So general education requirements are needed, but we also have the state tuition reimbursement program that's available to our Guard members. They're eligible for that as soon as they come back from basic training. Currently, it reimburses up to 100% of the university rate. So it really depends on where you go to school and what that cost would be.
And so part of your job then is just to provide that education. I'm assuming helping the airmen to stay on track to go through the community college, the Air Force, to stay on track with the education they need, the technical school, but then also provide that support so they can get that civilian education where you talk about the different benefits that can pay for that education.
Yeah, we brief them on what's available to them and what they're eligible for.
All right, and I want to be able to get to you, Jesse, and we've got about a minute and a half, and security forces. It is as simple as saying it's like the military police or a police force. What is security forces?
So you could say that where it differs from Army MPs, for example, is there's no Air Force infantry. So security forces kind of fills a little bit of both of those roles, both law enforcement and air-based ground defense and things like that. So there is that component, but most people, if I'm trying to give, you know, a quick 10-second spiel, I would just generally say military police.
And so if I'm coming out to the 133rd Airlift Wing and entering the base, it's someone from your team that I'm seeing or that I'm being greeted by at the gate to make sure I have authorized access? Is that the security forces?
Yes, that'd be security force members work the gate. They work patrols, our base defense operations center. There's a flight sergeant on duty. So there's a variety of positions, but you would first see a gate guard.
All right, perfect. All right, this is a spot where we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about your guys' service and then this Airman of the Year competition. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. I have Master Sergeant Jesse Maleski and Master Sergeant Nicole Hetland in the studio with me. We're talking about their service out at the 133rd Airlift Wing. And in the last segment, Nicole, you were talking about, you know, one of the things you like the best about your full-time job is that you get to see this transformation in the airmen that are leaving for basic training and then coming back. What other things do you really like being able to do as a full-time member? Or maybe what benefits you've had for being a member of the Air National Guard in general?
Well, I had actually used my state tuition reimbursement benefits, and that's how I got my social work degree, was utilizing that program. Back to your question about what else do I like about my job? I like the people, right? It's all about the family. It's the people there that keep me there. You know, my senior leaders are great.
Yeah. And then you get to come in and have opportunities like coming on Minnesota Military Radio. So that's pretty cool too. All right. So, Jesse, security forces, it sounds pretty cool. My career started off as a military police officer in the Army National Guard. I also went to St. Cloud State. So,
okay. You
know, there's like three stars for you already here as we are doing this interview. But what's the best thing for you as it relates to, you know, being a member of the security forces? Why do you stay in that branch, so to speak?
So security forces is one of the largest career fields in the Air Force, and with that, there's a lot of different opportunities within the enterprise. So in addition to working the law enforcement side of things, you know, working the gate or working on patrol, you can be a combat arms training and maintenance person that, you know, you bring people to the ranges, you instruct them on the weapon systems, you maintain the weapon systems, you can be a Phoenix Raven, which does aircraft security in high threat areas. I was fortunate to be a part of that team for a number of years. And then Security Forces is one of the AFSCs, or Air Force Specialty Codes, MOSs, that is part of the contingency response enterprise, which I'm now assigned to. I'm assigned to the contingency response flight at the 133rd Airlift Wing. So I'm not fully working with the Security Forces squadron right now. I'm in a different position in a different unit that provides, again, some more than the average or standard opportunities.
And you get those types of opportunities because as I'm looking at your resume or your data sheet or your bio, whatever we want to call it, you know, there are some key words that come in here. You know, you receive some accolades as being a top performer. You're doing some combatives, air assault, pathfinder, Arctic operations. So when you are a top performer, you get great opportunities to do things like what you're talking about.
That seems to be the case. And, I'm very fortunate to have been able to attend a lot of those schools and travel the world.
And as a top performer, both of you, then you get an opportunity to compete in the Airman of the Year competition. We've talked about this on the Army side. They call it a Best Warrior competition.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicole, we were talking before the show again about kind of how you got started or nominated to compete in the competition. And so maybe you can kind of give us a little bit of an overview of what the Airman of the Year competition is and then, you know, that nomination process for you. So, yes, the Airman of the Year competition, is this, it's every year, and what are the levels of people that compete?
So we have the senior non-commissioned officer level, and then we have the non-commissioned officer level, and then the airman of the year. There's also the first sergeant of the year, and then we have the officer.
An officer of the year. I mean, kind of the same
correct.
Same
there's
type of a thing, like a junior officer or something
yes.
like that. Yeah. So you're on a deployment, and you find out that you've been nominated for the Airman of the Year. And how did that come about to you? How did you find out about it?
You know, I was sending forward all of the accolades that I received from the leadership in my deployed setting and updating my supervisor about all the great things that have happened and all of my learning experiences. And she had informed me that, you know, hey, I'm going to write you up for the Outstanding Airman of the Year. By the time I got home, it was in the second week of getting home. Didn't hear anything after that. And I got the phone call by our wing commander and our command chief that I had been selected as the senior non-commissioned officer for the 133rd.
And that first phase, if you will, of the competition is kind of like a packet review. So all of the accolades, all of your service, your performance, evaluations, all those things are then looked at, right, as a part of that review, and you're graded amongst all the other competitors. And obviously you rose to the top. So congratulations on that. And Jesse, how did you get involved with or nominated for the Airman of the Year?
So it actually kind of caught me by surprise. One day my commander just gave me a call and he said, hey, I need some information from you. So he sent me this form to fill out, just give him some data points that he had already gotten started on. And so I got that back to him. And shortly after, I found out that was for the nomination for NCO of the year. And eventually I just got the call that I had won at the group level. So it starts at the flight or squadron level, goes to the group level, goes to the wing level, state level, regional, national level, and so on. I eventually just got the call that my packet was, you know, the judges looked at it and they thought that I would be a good candidate for the next level. And so here we are.
Yeah, right. And so how does that make you feel? And this is a question to the both of you, right? How does it make you feel knowing that your leadership sees the great things you've been doing, the potential that you have, and recognizes the accomplishments? And I'll start with you, Jesse.
Sure. I feel very fortunate. You know, day to day, we're just doing our duties in our building and just plugging along with training or planning exercises and things like that. And oftentimes our heads are just down working, and to get a call from a commander saying, hey, I've nominated you for this, it feels like, you know, our hard work is noticed and we're seen and supported by our leadership.
That's awesome. And what about you, Nicole?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm very fortunate. I'm not a person that likes to pat herself on the shoulder. So it felt really good to have that support and my leadership being able to cheer me on and recognize that I did a lot of great things while I was gone.
Yeah. And so we know that the competition, I think you're saying that it's already moved on to the next levels. You both made it through the wing, and obviously competition's pretty good. And Jesse, who did you say was ultimately selected out at the state level to move forward?
So for both of us, our counterparts at the Duluth,
the
148th, were selected to move on to the state level.
Okay. Well, congratulations to make it to through the wing level anyway. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment, especially when we talk about, you know, whatever it is, 1,000 airmen or so at each of the wings. And, you know, you rise to the top, you know, definitely deserve great, great accolades. So we have about a minute and a half. And Nicole, I want to end up with this question with you, and then I'll come to Jesse. You know, you've had a great career so far, a late career, meaning you started later in life. But there's somebody out there listening right now to the radio show that it might be interested, or they know somebody who might be interested in joining the military. What kind of messaging do you have to that person?
Well, if you're looking for education-based benefits, that would be the first thing that I would talk about, is because we do, for our state, I believe we may be the second state that offers the highest level of state tuition reimbursement, if that makes sense.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, at 100% of the university rate, that's a lot, and that can bring a person a long way for that. The other part is the family that we have, right? So I started out, you know, thinking, well, it's only 6 years of my life, right? And here I am 17 years later, you know, yeah, full time out there with just, I work with some wonderful people.
That's awesome. Jesse, 20 seconds. What would you say?
Sure. So for me, I've gone through a litany of different things or reasons why I've joined the Guard or stayed. So initially it was for school benefits, then camaraderie. And then I look at the map that I have of where all I've traveled to, and I see dozens and dozens of pins all over that map. And then also, you know, as I get older and hopefully wiser, I feel more of a responsibility to serve just because I'm able to.
Yeah, well, great opportunities. And Jesse, Nicole, we appreciate you coming in again, sharing your story. Congratulations on your selection to get up to the wing level of the Airman of the Year. We wish you the best of luck in your career as you move forward. And again, thanks for serving our Minnesota Air National Guard.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
You bet. We appreciate that. That's Master Sergeant Jesse Maleski and Master Sergeant Nicole Hetland. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. This is your host, Doug Wertheimer. In a moment, we're going to check in with a recent graduate out at the University of Minnesota and the ROTC program. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner. This is a weekly update from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay.
In 1983, legislation was signed creating a federal holiday marking the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In 1994, Congress designated the Martin Luther King Jr. federal holiday as a national day of service. Dr. King encouraged all citizens to live up to the purpose and potential of America by applying principles of nonviolence to make this country a better place to live. Dr. King believed in a nation of freedom and justice for all. His vision was to create the beloved community. I encourage you to volunteer your service and move our nation closer to Dr. King's vision of community. Volunteer at one of our 8 veterans homes across the state, the VA hospital, or an organization of your choice to make a difference.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Jake Hafner joined the Army National Guard at the age of 17, and then after a series of events, he enrolled at the University of Minnesota and the Reserve Officer Training Corps. Jake recently graduated from the University of Minnesota with a degree in history and was commissioned as a second lieutenant after completing the ROTC program. Lieutenant Hafner is assigned to the aviation branch and is currently awaiting active duty orders. Lieutenant Hafner, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. And, you know, not too long ago, we had a group from ROTC on. They were talking about, you know, the program down in Mankato and up here at the U of M. And the people we were talking to were either instructors or one of them was a cadet, SMP, or simultaneous membership program cadet. But here you are, a recent graduate from the U of M, also of the ROTC program. So congratulations on that.
Thank you again.
Well, let's start with why you joined at the age of 17 into the Army National Guard.
So there's a lot of reasons why I joined, but largely my older brother, he joined the National Guard, and I kind of saw that and thought that was pretty cool. The military's always been something I wanted to do. I always thought I was going to be going active duty, but I saw the National Guard. It was a way to kind of like start now. I was kind of tired of waiting to finish high school. So seeing my brother do it, I was like, I think that's what I'm going to do. And so obviously I signed up and I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. And so what was your initial job?
So originally I enlisted as an 11 Bravo or infantryman. It was just kind of like, I always called it a family business. My granddad did it. Great granddad did it. And his dad did it too. And obviously to one-up my brother, he was a combat engineer. So.
Oh, yeah. Wow, interesting. Yeah, I spent some time as a combat engineer as well. But you spend the time in the Army National Guard, and then eventually you want to go to school, so you go to Mankato. Things don't work out. You're like, okay, I'm gonna stop going there for a little while. And then eventually, you know, just through a series of other events, you're like, I'm going to go join or enroll at the University of Minnesota. How did you come to know about ROTC, and then eventually what led you to make the decision to actually sign up and become a member of the Reserve Officer Training Corps?
So, yeah, I applied to the University of Minnesota. I showed up, and I've never really been to the cities too much before this point. And so I was kind of just walking around, taking some time during orientation week to kind of figure out where all my classes are. And walking around campus, there's this just huge castle-looking building. And I'm like, all right, I got to look that.
I know exactly what building you're talking about. I've been in there.
I got to check that out. And so I walk in there, and coincidentally, I run straight into the – I think it was the Navy ROTC. He was a pilot. And being a pilot, something I've always wanted to do. So I was like, I'll talk to this guy and talk to him. And then I'm on my way out and I'm find myself talking to the recruiter for the Army program. Oh, I'm already in the Army, so I'll give this guy a listen.
Sure.
And I'm sitting down and I distinctly remember a major walking in and asking me, like, what's keeping you from signing up like right now? Like what's holding you back? I'm like, sir, honestly, like officers just kind of rubbed me wrong for most of my career.
Because at this point in time, how long have you already been serving?
So at that point, it would have been 5 years.
Okay.
Being in the military. And he kind of put me on the spot. He's like, well, why not be the change you want to see? Like, he called me out on it. He's like, sir, you kind of got a point.
You got to be careful what you say. Some of those officers are pretty tricky.
Right. So I find myself taking an ACFT the next morning and...
And the ACFT is what?
The Army Combat Physical Fitness Test.
Yeah, which is the new fitness test, more than just the traditional push-ups, sit-ups, and go run for 2 miles.
Right. It's more in-depth.
Yeah, pretty extensive in-depth, as you said, physical fitness assessment. All right, so the major puts you on the spot. You take the Army Combat Fitness Test the next day. Obviously, you passed the fitness test, and so... Was that it? Did you immediately enroll in ROTC then or what?
Yeah, so after I finished the test, I showed up to the morning class, introduced myself to the professor. At this point, class has been going on for a few days, so it wasn't day one of classes. I kind of just walked in on the middle of something that was kind of already going on, and yeah, just... I guess that was the thing that I started doing.
Yeah, and so what year of college is this for you?
So I was a transfer. I think it technically would have been my sophomore year.
Okay. So you were in ROTC then, starting, let's just say, your sophomore year. And was it then a full additional 3 years, or was it an extended period of time? How long were you at the U?
For me, it ended up being 3.5 years. When I transferred to the U of M, I lost a lot of credits from Mankato, so I had to make up a lot of ground. I originally started just taking a lot of extra classes. My first semester there, I was taking, I think, 18 credits, and I quickly realized that was not sustainable.
Right.
And so I talked to the human resources staff member we had at the ROTC, and I kind of like... explained to her, like, hey, is there a way we can push this back? And she's like, yep, of course. You hit me at the perfect time. You want to do this before, you know, you contract. So that way we don't have to make a case to the Army and be like, hey, this guy's going to graduate later. You're not even contracted yet. So we're just like, yep, this is your graduation time. So it made it a lot simpler.
As I understand it from the conversation when the instructors and recruiters from the ROTC were in previously, is you generally will contract in your junior year. So if you're still in your sophomore year, you're really just attending because you want to. There's nothing forcing you to be there. You could have walked away at any point in time. But then they expect you to sign a contract saying – you'll complete the program and then go into one of the branches of the Army as a second lieutenant. Is that right?
That is correct. Yep. You can contract at any time before then. You can contract. There's people that contract their 1 year.
Does that mostly come with a scholarship or something too, though?
Yeah. If you contract early, you kind of, you put yourself, your name in the pool for those scholarships a lot earlier. So for things like active duty, where the scholarships are a lot harder to get just because you're competing against the entire nation for those spots, it gives you more time to be eligible, essentially, sure. for those scholarships versus, you know, GFRD or Guard Reserve. I forget what the FD stands for. If you guarantee yourself to the Guard or the Reserve, you're a lot more likely to get scholarships just because they're a little bit more generous, and it's on a state level versus national level. So the pool,
the competition.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then you're in the ROTC program for 3.5 years. You're going to school at the same time. How is it to balance the what would be ROTC, plus you're still a member of the Army National Guard, so you've got drilling requirements, I'm assuming, as well, plus now you've got however many credits you're taking. I mean, that's a lot to try to balance. And then I don't know if you were working as well, but there's probably a lot of balls up in the air that you have to juggle.
Correct, yeah. I was working part-time as a mechanic through all of this to support myself through college. It can be pretty difficult. Your 1 and 2 year are going to be pretty laid back. There's not a lot of mandatory things that you need to be doing. Once when you get into your 3 years where you've got to really start running with it, it's your evaluation year is kind of how I would describe that. And then your 4 year, depending on your university, U of M being a larger university, it again, that workload kind of increases more. I'd say the workload for a 4 year is more than a 3 year, but in a different kind of sense. It's sure. The 4 year is a lot more planning. You're helping run the organization to kind of give that training for an officer to be like, hey, you're going to run ranges. You're going to be doing these things. So they kind of get your feet wet with it. They don't necessarily throw you in.
So the level of responsibility increases as you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about your experience in the ROTC program and then what's next for you, okay? This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us, and we'll continue our conversation with Jake Hafner. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me is Jake Hafner, who was a member of the Army National Guard, went to the University of Minnesota, and recently graduated from there through the ROTC program and is now a new commissioned second lieutenant. And you commissioned in December, is that right?
That is correct.
All right. So you go through the ROTC program. You're talking about how, you know, as you get, you know, past that second, third, and then into that fourth year, levels of responsibility increase, probably some of that time commitment increases. You're balancing a job. You're balancing Army National Guard service 1 weekend a month, right? You're balancing your ROTC responsibilities. Through that sophomore year, junior year, and then that senior year or fourth year of ROTC, what kind of additional time requirements do you have to the program itself? Like, do you have, you know, like weekend things you've got to do with them? Is it PT every morning or physical training every morning? Is it, you know, summer camps? What kind of other time commitments do you have?
Yeah, so your 3 year, your time commitments are really going to be PT's mandatory. Obviously, you're now in a leadership position, usually either like team leader, squad leader, or even up to the platoon sergeant. You'd be in charge of those individuals. And also we do FTXs.
That's a field training exercise.
Field training exercise. Yeah. We do 2 big ones every year, 1 per semester, and then there's a handful of smaller weekend-sized ones. The larger ones are around 4 to 5 days, typically a Thursday to a Sunday, or possibly a Monday if they want to push it out a little bit further. Obviously, those become mandatory in your 3 year because that's where you're getting a lot of your evaluations. Your field training looks where they're saying, are you taking what we're teaching you? Are you applying it? And are you understanding?
So are you book smart or can you apply it?
Correct.
You know, street smart, maybe somebody would call it.
Right? Yes, sir.
Okay. And so, you know, you're still a member of the Army National Guard, so you still have a unit that you're a part of as well. You are a cadet at this time. So does that mean you're in a platoon leader's position, so you have additional responsibility at that weekend drill assignment as well?
Yeah, so the unit that I was with, I was also with when I was enlisted. So that kind of played to my advantage in that this unit already knew what I knew and
sure.
that, you know, I was already in a leadership position when I left. And so, and when I technically came back as a cadet, they understood what I already knew. So they're able to flex my skills when we were still doing field exercises. And I would then shadow like lieutenants when I had free time, but I would also still get used as kind of a soldier in the field.
Sure.
Which that was really, really awesome. But Otherwise, yeah, I'd show up to drill, and sometimes I'd be used as what kind of describe as an auxiliary lieutenant. Be like, hey, we have this additional thing that we need to get done. We don't really have a slot. You know, we don't have a platoon stated to get it. You can pull a couple soldiers, go get this thing done.
Sure. So let's talk back a little bit about your experience in ROTC. And we only have like a minute and a half left here. But, you know, somebody's listening that might be a current member of the National Guard, or maybe they're not, but they're attending one of these schools that have an ROTC program. What was the big benefit for you that drove you to join? And then what would you say to that person that might be considering it?
I really liked the military kind of community. The camaraderie was kind of a big thing, something I really missed when I moved into the cities. I didn't really have anybody of like-minded kind of mindset for myself. So having that community was really nice. And again, it was an awesome opportunity for me to chase my dream of being a pilot. And so I kind of just saw that as another way to get into the door.
And you're leaving. Are you commissioned to go on active duty? So as I mentioned previously, you're waiting for your assignment to go to school, your basic officer leader course. Do you have any indication yet where you might be going for your training?
Yeah, so all flight school for the Army happens at Fort Novosel, Alabama. Used to be called Fort Rucker.
Okay.
I'll be going down there for Bullock. Bullock's short and sweet for pilots. Just kind of here's how to be an officer. And then I'll be off to SEER, which is Survive, Evade, Resist, and Escape School. It's just a class that the military puts high-risk members for being captured through.
Would you do it again, go back through ROTC if you had the option, if you had to?
100%.
All right, so I imagine you'd recommend someone else do it too, check into it.
Always.
All right, perfect. Well, hey, Jake, I apologize, but we're out of time. But I really appreciate you coming in and sharing a little bit about ROTC, your experience. Thanks for your service. Good luck in your active duty career. And maybe when you come back sometime, we can get an update from you here on Minnesota Military Radio.
That'd be awesome.
All right, awesome. That's Jake Hafner. Good luck again to him as he heads off for active duty and his flight school. On the phone is Josh Benega. Josh serves as the Lacaparo County Veteran Service Officer and the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Josh, great to have you back on Minnesota Military Radio.
Great to be back on, Doug, and I hope everybody out there had a good holiday season and got to spend some time with friends and loved ones.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, Josh, one of the things that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is going to be doing is making a more concerted effort to connect with some of the active duty and traditional members of our National Guard to provide some information assistance to them as they prepare for separation from service. And, you know, we have a big group, obviously, of the National Guard here. But we've got people in our community that, you know what, maybe they've just recently come back from active duty and they're new back to Minnesota in one of the counties that maybe the county you serve, Lacaparo. So what do you say to those people that are leaving service, coming back to Minnesota? What do you say to them and the importance of them connecting with you?
Well, a lot of times it used to be that state of Minnesota would share information with us of a recently separated veteran by sending a courtesy copy of their service military discharge to our office. And then it would be on us to a lot of my colleagues and myself included have would send out welcome letters saying, you know, welcome home. We're glad that you thank you for your service. Here's some things that our office can help with. That includes, you know, enrollment in health care, filing for any benefits that may be that they may be entitled to, whether it be disability compensation or information regarding their GI Bill or VA home loan guarantee, something like that. If anything, we're just a repository of information for them to use and be there and provide some support.
Would you say that one of the more important things as well, other than understanding what benefits or entitlements are available, is a place to file that discharge record or document, that DD-214? How important is that?
It is super important. It's in the state of Minnesota, it's treated like any other vital record, which means a birth certificate, a death certificate, a marriage certificate, you know, property record, things like that. and they're all kept in the county recorder's office, which several of our CVSO offices throughout the state are in the same building as a county recorder. So, we strongly encourage any returning service member to bring copy number 4 of their DD-214 to the county recorder, just so it can be of record in the county. That way, they can they always have a place where they can obtain a copy of their own record.
And while they're there, they might as well introduce themselves to that county veteran service officer, so you can do a records review and then find out if there are any other benefits or entitlements that they've got coming to them. Right.
That, and we love meeting fellow service members, because we're all service members ourselves, or we all were. So
yeah, so you welcome them into the larger family of the veterans within your community.
Absolutely, Doug.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. And Josh, we appreciate the work that you're doing out there and sharing with us. And if you're a military member out there recently separated, get in and see your CVSO. If you haven't seen your CVSO in a long time, get in and visit with them. Josh, have a great day, and thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Yep, thank you.
You bet. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to let you know, on behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, the Camp Ripley Memorialization Board is now accepting nominations through April 1st, 2025, for possible candidates to be inducted into the 2025 Minnesota Army National Guard Court of Honor. The induction ceremony is currently scheduled for October 5th, 2025, at Camp Ripley, Minnesota. For more information on eligibility requirements, nomination forms, and memorialization, simply search the internet for Minnesota Army National Guard Court of Honor accepting nominations. Join us next week for a conversation with Outdoor Warrior Nation, and then we'll learn how Lutheran Social Services is supporting Minnesota veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice, so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.